Very good. We live in a great country. You know, I am glad to be here in America. I have enjoyed my time here. Of course, I haven't been too many other places, but I do enjoy it here. I was reading this week about this couple that had always dreamed about traveling up in Canada. And so they went up there one week and they kind of got themselves lost. And they were driving all around feeling very, very lost. And so they finally pull into this one city, and the wife is like, "Hun, pull over. I gotta talk to somebody." And so they pull over by the sidewalk, and she says, "Sir, can you tell me what city this is?" And he's like, "Saskatoon, Saskatchewan." She rolls the window back up, and she goes, "Oh, no, hon, we're really lost. They don't even speak English here." So here, you know, we speak English. And we have better place names, you know. We have places like Bumpus and Cuckoo and Louisa. And we live in these great places. but we are celebrating the 4th, and it's a great thing to celebrate. But related to that, let me just remind you of a couple of the words. We're going to be in Galatians 6. We're going to read a verse there to be our launching pad. If you want to turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. But I want to remind you a couple of words from the song that we just sang together, which I love this song. It says, "Oh, the cross is my statue of liberty, for it was there that my soul was set free. Unashamed I'll proclaim that a rugged cross is my statue of liberty." And I think when he wrote that song back in 76, I think it won quite a few awards. Maybe it was one of the most popular songs that year or something. Anyhow, Galatians 6, verse 14, let's start here. Paul writes, and he says, "May it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Let's read it one more time. "May it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Please pray together with me. Great God in heaven, this morning we do thank you for the cross and what you did there and all that means for us. Lord, today as we look at your word and just think about what you're offering us through the cross, I pray, Lord, that you again will be our teacher. Lord, that you will teach me, that you will speak through these humble words, through these few minutes, and just use this time in our lives to draw us near to you, to encourage us, to remind us of things we need to be reminded of. Lord, may you just empower this time and do with it all that is on your heart. And I pray it in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, so we're comparing this morning the cross to the Statue of Liberty. Some of you may be better at history than me, so you might know more about the Statue of Liberty than I do, but I've been just looking at a few of the basic details about it the last couple of weeks. It was given to us back in 1885 by France, and it was sort of like a reminder, a memorial of 100 years of liberty that we had experienced here in America. And it was also, the idea was, it was commemorating our alliance with France in the defense of freedom, that our countries were all about freedom. Of course, it stands up in New York Harbor. From what I understand, it is 152 feet tall, and it stands on a base that is another 150 feet tall. So it is up there. I mean, huge. And it means a lot to us. It stands for liberty. So what in the world is this idea of liberty? Well, I'm sure you could teach this lesson, but just very, very simply, very, very basically, we have liberty here in America, so it means we do what we want to do, right? For the most part, we live the way that we want to live. No one told me what occupation I had to take up. back when I was around 20. No one told me who to marry. I got to choose my girl for myself, and fortunately she chose me too. If we want to go somewhere, we don't submit paperwork to the government and ask permission. We just go. We book a flight. You know, if I wake up tomorrow morning, I'm like, man, I just get in my car and I go. And I don't have to take paperwork with me. We are just free to live life. And it's a great thing. It's a great, great liberty. Well, the fun thing to meditate on this morning is that the cross also represents freedom. And it takes us even further than the freedoms that we have here in America and the freedoms that the Statue of Liberty represents. Because through the cross, we're set free from the slavery to sin. We're set free from that penalty and from its power over us. So we just want to meditate on some of these things together this morning. And this message was actually written by another pastor. I take a few times a year to bring in messages from other people because I feel like it's encouraging. And so that's what we're doing this morning. But he lists three things about liberty that we're going to talk about together today. The monument of liberty, the message of liberty, and the mystery of liberty. All right, so we're going to start with the monument of liberty. The Statue of Liberty is a reminder to us of something. And it's kind of like many times in the Old Testament, Jesus told the people of Israel to do something so they would remember him and they would remember his faithfulness. For example, after they came out, God took them out of slavery in Egypt and they were about to go into the promised land. They were standing there at the Jordan River. There were like two million people that needed to get across, and it was in flood stage. And so in faith, they obeyed God, and the priests were carrying the ark, and they walked down there. And as soon as their feet touched the water, it stopped. The Jordan River stopped flowing, and it began to pile up. And the Israelites walked over. 2 million people walked over on dry ground. One of God's miracles for them. And so God told Moses, he said, Moses, I want you to send one man from each of the 12 tribes of Israel back out into that river, go over in the middle of it somewhere and get a big rock. And so they pick up these 12 large stones, they carry them out there, and they set them up on the bank and make a tower out of them. And so God says, here's what you do with this. This is a reminder for you. This is a memorial for you. So in days to come, when your children ask you, hey, Dad, what's the pile of rocks about? You get to tell them the story of what God did for you. Remind them of my faithfulness. So the Statue of Liberty is like that for us, right? You know, as people, thousands of people have sailed into New York Harbor, there that thing is, you know, with the torch up there. And so I'm sure there's been countless kids, Dad, what in the world is that all about? And so probably the story's probably been told 1,000 different ways, but Dad gets to tell his son, his daughter, about the liberty that Americans experience and the cost of that liberty, how people sacrificed their lives. They came to this country in search of freedom, and some probably in search of riches and a lot of different reasons. But that's what that statue stands for. Well, isn't it exciting that there's another monument? And this other monument that we're talking about today is towering over history in a much greater way than the Statue of Liberty has. It's been standing there for thousands of years now. The arms of the cross extend out, almost seems like symbolically, to the whole world. It doesn't matter what color your skin is, how old you are, whether you're rich or poor, what language you speak. The cross has a message for the world of liberty and freedom from sin. And so that's what it stands for. And it's a beautiful statue in some ways. You know, in some ways, when you think about the cross, it's like, wow, it's a symbol of someone's death and a very terrible death. But when you think about what put Jesus, why he went to that cross, because the Bible tells us that he did so willingly, that it was his own choice to go there, it becomes such a beautiful, beautiful monument. Because we remember Christ, we remember God's love for us and his willingness to go through that for us. Of course, for many, 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 many years, people have been trying to get rid of the cross, just like they are today. That effort hasn't stopped. It started very early on, and for the last 2,000 years, people have been trying in different ways to eradicate the cross and its message. But it's still standing there, just as tall, just as strong, just as victorious as ever, still standing there. I read an interesting story this week. What was that guy's name? John Bolton. He's a prison guard. And he noticed one day a cross hanging around one of the prisoners' necks. And he was curious about it because he knew this prisoner, that he was a very kind of a cruel guy, and he had no interest in the Bible, no interest in God, no interest in any religion for that matter, and yet here's this cross. And so he got looking really closely at it, and he noticed there's this little thing sticking up sitting up on top of the cross. And he's like, man, that looks like a handcuff key. And sure enough, he did a little more investigating, found out that that little shape on the top of that cross would open almost any set of handcuffs. And so they did a little bit more investigating, and evidently there was this plan going around, and a whole bunch of the prisoners had the exact same cross hanging around their neck. And it was just interesting, because think about it, they wanted to be free, right? Here they are in prison. They wanted to be free. And everybody wants to be free physically, you know, whether you're in that kind of prison or whether you're in a country where the government is a little bit oppressive, everybody wants to be free physically. But what about freedom of the soul? How important is that too? You know, not just freedom for the body, but freedom for our soul. And that brings us to our very next point, which is just as important as the monument of liberty, and it's the message of liberty, the message of liberty. So, you know, the Statue of Liberty up there in New York Harbor, as you're sailing into the harbor, obviously there's no audible message, you know, it's not being broadcast or anything like that, but there's a message that's understood when people see that statue. And there's a message actually stamped at the base of the statue. I won't read you the whole thing, but it's an interesting message. I'll just read you a little bit of it. This is what it says there. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. Wow. That is engraved at the bottom of the Statue of Liberty. And it's another one of the things that makes me proud to be an American. Because, you know, those are the principles that our country was founded on. Our country was founded on the principle of we're going to help people. And so we've been the largest, actually I think we are still the largest, missionary sending country in the world for a lot of years. We have now been surpassed if you total the rest of the missionaries in the world. America has recently been surpassed because Christianity is flourishing and growing in all of these other countries. But we've had it as one of our goals to help the world for a long, long time. You know some of the stories. You know, people go to war with us, and we would fight the war and we'd win the war. And then we'd go rebuild their country. And not so that we can own it, but so, and we'd give it back to them and say, okay, here you are. Now, don't do that again. Don't do that again, right? But that's the kind of country that we have been, and I think it's a wonderful, wonderful message. Well, the message of the cross, again, is even more powerful than that. Turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 4. And of course, boy, we could read just about any place in the New Testament to talk about this message. But look at Luke 4 with me. I just want us to read a couple of verses here about the message of the cross. What's happening in Luke 4 is, of course, Jesus is traveling around through the land of Israel at this time. And everywhere he goes, he's healing people. He's teaching people. He's working with his disciples, that kind of thing. In Luke chapter 4, he ends up in a synagogue, and he's like one of the guests there. So as is often their custom, they hand him the Bible. Their part of the Bible was the Old Testament then. So they hand him one of the scrolls to read from. You're a guest here. Would you like to read the scriptures? They hand him the prophet Isaiah. And so Jesus turns to the place in Isaiah where you find these words, and this is what he reads from verse 18, Luke 4, 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. You know, notice the verse before the last verse there, to set free those who are oppressed. He then goes on in verse 20 to say, he closed the book, he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. He went over and he sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And Jesus began to say, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And so Jesus is saying, I'm the fulfillment of that scripture. And of course, that is the message of the cross. That is what he came to do, to set you and me free in just this incredible way that really the world didn't realize the depth of our need, because we had become enslaved to sin, entrapped by sin. Look at the brokenness of the world. The world is confused about this. I can see why they're confused, because they're constantly saying that we're born good. We're born basically good. And so I'm like, well, where did all this bad come from if we're born good? And we didn't know the depth of our need. But Christ came and in his love gave his life on that cross, so we could be set free from sin. And the message is throughout the New Testament. It is absolutely wonderful. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. 1 John chapter 5, God's given us eternal life. This life is in his Son. The one who has the Son has the life. The one who does not have the Son does not have the life. So the message of the cross, you and I can be forgiven. And it's just because Christ did that for us. Wow! What a message. What a message. All right, the mystery of liberty. The mystery of liberty. The cross we talked about, the monument of liberty, the message of liberty. Now, the mystery of liberty. What is it about liberty that convinces great men to risk their lives, even to give their lives for it, often for something that they won't even experience for themselves? Think about that. They're going out there and they die on that battlefield, and they're never going to enjoy it. What in the world motivates that? And, you know, we could probably ask a lot of our veterans, Why do you do that? And from what I understand, what I read, they have asked. And often, here's the answer. We do it for other people. We do it for our family members. We do it for our fellow countrymen. We want them to have freedom. We want them to have liberty. And so that's why they're willing to go and risk their lives like that. And of course, we know Patrick Henry's famous words, "Give me liberty or give me death." Wow. That's pretty intense, right? That we have this deep, deep longing inside of us to be free like that. I personally believe that God created us, you know, with that He put that inside of us. And so that's where the mystery is. Well, it's interesting because the mystery of the cross is there as well. Turn with me, if you would, to Colossians chapter 4. We're going to read verse 3. In verse 2, Paul's talking about prayer, about how we should be devoted to prayer. You know, really, that we should be people who are all about praying. So he keeps going with that idea in verse 3 by asking us to pray for him. He says, praying at the same time for us, or for Paul and his team, for us, that God will open up to us a door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned. So there it is. It's a mystery. What would inspire a guy like Paul to go out and risk his life every day, be imprisoned, as he just says right there, I've been imprisoned for this. He was frequently beaten, I think on several occasions stoned. I know at least one occasion, because on that occasion they thought he was dead. They were throwing rocks at him, pelting him. Did it. Done deal. And they left him and went back into the city. He said he was shipwrecked. He spent a day and a night in the deep. He was often in jail, etc., etc. You know the story. What would inspire him? And he says it's this mystery of Christ. Well, pretty exciting that it's no longer a mystery, right? Turn with me over to chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Because the mystery's been explained. It was a mystery to them in the Old Testament. But look at Colossians 1:26. It says, that is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but now has been manifested to His saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There it is again, the mystery of the cross, is that Christ actually lives inside of you and me. And that's hard to understand. You know, the Bible says that we have become partakers of the divine nature. We're not God, obviously, but He lives in our hearts. He lives right inside of us, and so He helps us walk with Him on a daily basis. He encourages us. He gives us the strength to live the Christian life and strength to grow as Christians and to overcome Satan and its power in our lives. So it's not an unsolved mystery. It's been solved. And that mystery is Christ in us. And quite honestly, I don't think we ever experience true freedom until we have Christ living in our hearts. You know, you can even grow up in America, but you will still be a slave to sin. Jesus said the one who commits sin is a slave to sin. And I think that's why we've got many people, you know, our suicide's up in our country. Crime is up in our country. Depression is up in our country. Drug use, I don't know what that, Prozac, is that what they call that one? It makes you feel good? Okay, a purple pill, I don't know. Anyhow, I know that like Kathy and I did the foster care thing for a little while, and these foster kids, you know, they're like on major medications. And it's just like, I think that we're not free. But in Christ, we're free. You know, thankfully, I'm not on drugs. And I have a clear conscience, not because of myself, but because of what Christ has done. And so it's really, really quite an incredible benefit. Turn with me to one more passage, if you would. John chapter 8. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son does remain forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." And that's what the Son has done for us. He has made us free. Please pray together with me. Well, Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you for all that you've done for us. I thank you, Lord, I thank you for the cross. Lord, of course, a cross would mean nothing to us except for what you did on it. Lord, many criminals hung on crosses and many others unjustly punished like you. But Lord, no one else did so of their own free will, went there because they loved me, because they loved mankind and wanted to free us from our sin. And so, Lord, we just humbly bow before you this morning and say thank you. Thank you. Lord, today we pray that we would just be completely yours, that you would have your way in our hearts and be able to do all that you want in our hearts. And we pray these things together in Christ's name. Amen.